Dear God, in difficult times, strengthen us according to your word and help us to share your strength with others. L'chaim.
L'chaim. How you doing? You have a roll of toilet paper on your right, brand new?
Oh.
And I can only half hear the tears. So I get a text. You're out. It's your mom's graduating college.
Yeah.
What kind of college, by the way? A bachelor's degree? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, bachelor's.
Okay.
That's a 4-year.
Right?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I only did like 2-3 months work of papers for her. So she did most of it. Congratulations. And then they go out to dinner. So I know it's over.
By the way, I told her that you said congratulations and she really was like, wow, really tell him thank you. That was nice.
See?
My mom is all about you now. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever's going to hook you up anymore.
Right.
She's wising up.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is my last hope for this girl getting married. At least he's white this time. You know,
so I
he seems nerdy. That's right. A good thing. Mm-hmm. So you're in there, babe.
I get a text from Hemda saying...
Towards the end of the night.
Right. Saying it all went wrong. And I know that graduation is over. So it wasn't like weird paperwork.
I knew you would understand it.
Right? It wasn't the end of that stupid fucking show. What did we just watch? Big Love. Are you a polygamist? Yeah. We've been exposed. You know, so it's not like something weird. Like, did your daughter and her boyfriend write all your papers? Yeah. Okay, get out. How'd they find out? We'll get to that. But anyway, so I know she got her diploma and it's all over. I know you're at dinner. So I'm like, what could possibly have gone wrong? What does that even mean?
What could possibly have gone wrong? Anytime we talk.
I mean, an argument about you and me, I'd assume. But what does it went all wrong mean?
Were you assuming
mean?
That?
Yes.
Were you
what
assuming
else
it was about
it
you? That's so funny. That's probably...
In vain.
Totally vain on your end. But no, that would have actually been a topic that would have been even like 10,000 times more pleasant. For some reason, our childhood comes up and it's always a bad idea. And me and both my
brothers...
You say
it's always a bad idea. You don't bring it up, do you?
I don't anymore. I hardly talk about real things with my parents. I just keep everything to myself. Even this show, they don't know that I'm doing this show. I understand that eventually they'll have to know, but maybe I'll be making money by then, you know, and whatever.
And then they'll be okay with it.
No.
Okay.
But there'll be a reason for it, where now it's just me trash talking and whatever. So
it's not going to make much sense to your parents coming into your bedroom and it's a studio.
Yeah.
No, we used the smaller room to sleep in.
Right. Yeah, this is the thing that you did with the house that's so great that you bought. There's t-shirts everywhere. Yeah, Mom, we sell them. Great. You sell t-shirts. Great. So, but the thing is my father, so neither one of the kids, we talk anything normal with my parents. But my father tends to dig a little bit with his jokes, and he doesn't realize how digful he's being.
No pun, but remember when we hung out with my dad? Easy, son. I have more holes for you to dig at home.
Exactly.
These are jokes you can't bring up.
You can't. You really can't. The thing
I can reach over and just start touching you inappropriately again.
Yeah, what? It's the same kind of thing. I don't understand, but we discussed bringing this up or not bringing this up before we started the show, and I still don't understand why we're bringing it up, because your dad's funny.
See?
I don't think this is funny.
That's what I knew. We definitely have to talk about it.
No.
Because it's funny, because it's not your dad.
Oh, that's true. I'm
it's
sorry,
hilarious.
Baby.
There is no difference
I'm sorry.
Between my dad and your dad. The more you find out, and we'll talk about what happened to you tonight, there is no difference.
You think so? Your
yes.
dad makes you dig up random holes.
Not anymore. Your dad treated you guys like shit as kids, and now can push
thing.
Your buttons again.
That's the thing. My parents, I really highly believe, did the best that they can. They gave up
and
their
so
lives.
Did mine.
Really, they gave up their lives for us. They really, really did.
Well,
they sacrificed
didn't.
Everything. A lot of parents didn't. A lot of
I
parents
guess.
Didn't. A lot of parents were really shit to their kids, and I really believe that I would be dead if I didn't have these parents. Like, they were supportive in the way that they're not supportive now. They were supportive of my feeling. I don't know. They were good to me. You know, they gave me shelter. They gave me things. You can't take that for granted. But so I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this.
So you're at dinner.
Oh, so all night.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So all night, my dad's kind of digging on my older brother. I kind of hear it. I kind of feel it, because I also know what my brother went through. And
is your brother's date there with him? By
no,
the way?
No, no, okay. No, no, no. But he's digging on him. And to my father, he thinks it's funny. Now, the thing is there's only but so much that the entire family says to each other. At this point, we're all dodging things. My parents, too. My parents don't want to talk about why I'm not married, you know, unless they're ready for fighting words, you know.
Right.
So we all do the same thing. So we're all, you know, kind of like loose, you know, talking about just the subject. And my father's kind of throwing out jokes about my child, my brother's childhood, like just random whatever.
Like he wasn't so social when he was a kid, and that bothered your dad.
He did. My parents threw us in situations with so many Persian people, it was obnoxious, because Persians are not like normal human beings. They're up in your business. They talk shit about you. They're just, if it's hot, they'll sit right next to you on purpose if you're uncomfortable. You know, like that kind of shit. Yeah. Like, get the fuck away from me. Now me, I'm just like, I'm oblivious as a kid, and my brother's more aware, and he's sick of it. So he's like, leave me alone at home. So now I'm trying not, you know, I don't want to bring in other people's personal lives into this, and that's my brother's life. But I'm just saying, like, my father's like, oh, you didn't like anything as a kid. You didn't blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, you're bringing this up way too much, where we're now thinking you had an issue with this and you need an explanation. Right. Now, we don't like diving into this, but here you are asking about it.
Already. Not to pick on you, because you just got home. You know, we just had a nice talk and everything. I think it's your guy's fault to even talk. Our parents are the same. And to even talk was your fault.
I agree.
And the bad thing is, of course, the main thing, it's your mom's day. But to go, you know what? Congratulations, mom. And I'm sorry. We have to go.
And
that's
goodbye.
What I would do.
Yeah, you're right.
Your dad.
We have not brought this up. We don't usually bring it up. We end up calling each other on the phone and bitching about it. And then we both feel better. We all feel better. All three of us. Just, you know, what the fuck was happening with this, that, and the other? Great. I'm glad we have normal lives. They can't do anything to us anymore. Good.
Your younger brother has been on the show, didn't go, and I think he doesn't go for reasons like that. I don't think he explains himself to you.
My younger brother comes more than my older brother. He comes over. He visits New York
but
he's got a different attitude about it, where my older brother and I, we leave shit out. We're just like, you know what? Just let it pass through. My younger brother, not only will he say something about what you just said, but he'll give you another thing to bitch about on top of it that's made up. He'll be like, yeah, I'm not married, and it's, you know, it's a shame that I got three girls knocked up the other week. That's, you know, and oh, my God, one of them is Puerto Rican and the other one is black. Woohoo! I have no idea what to do. And my mom's having a conniption.
Right.
My father kind of thinks it's funny, you know, because my mother's having a conniption. Like, how could that be true? You know, I mean, it can be, but look at your son. He's having a great time. He's laughing at you. And you know what I mean? So then the whole dynamic is...
Right. And I that's the way I would do it. And I would...
If I was
your older brother and you're complaining that I didn't like being social, I thought my bar mitzvah was stupid and this and that, and I would go, you know what? I just remembered. I'm a fucking millionaire. I guess I was right. By the way, I took care of the check. Congratulations, Mom.
And, you know, I really learned from the school.
And keep leaving until they learn a lesson and try harder. And as hard ass as your dad is as hard ass as my dad is, and he starts really, no matter whose fault it is, I don't get to talk to my kids unless I try. And whether the try is fake, like on my dad's end, my dad tries. And he's going to forget because he's a dick. He's going to forget later on in the conversation. And then, like your younger brother, you start getting retarded with your answers. Sorry, we can't talk for a while.
I know.
And then we'll talk again and we'll be, you know, about the weather. But your dad has to learn a lesson, and he's not going to learn a lesson by sitting at the dinner table. When you called me, when you left a message going, this is all fucked up, and then I found out how bad it really was, you should have been home 10 minutes after that.
The thing is I know, I told you that I learned from the school of Keith Malley. And I joke around about it. I'm like, I know, I suck, right? This is the worst. I'm the worst daughter ever. I should just start doing drugs. I might as well. I do that now. And if you notice, the only time that I get upset anymore is when they pick on my brothers. Either one of them is when my brothers are upset. In fact, I don't even have to be in the same room at the time. If they even hint at it, all of a sudden, I find myself yelling at my mother or my father and for things about me, because now I'm like, on top of it, I just get mad, you know, I just get like, but at the same time, I'm feeling for my father at the table, I'm feeling for my brother at the table, I'm feeling for my mom, and the thing is I get to be an emotional sponge, and now I'm freaking out inside. So, see, again, I don't see how this is funny. I think
it's interesting. I think a lot of people go through this.
Yeah, it is. And then, so we're done with my brother. Because, you know, now everyone's trying to change the subject. So my mom's like, let's change the subject to my daughter. And I'm like, okay, fine. I can handle it because I'm used to handling it. My mother tells me how disappointed she is all the time. But I love her. She's different. I don't know why.
Not change the subject to those English courses you took. Change the subject to another kid's
life. Totally. And then they start, and I'm like, And then I start joking around. I'm like, right, I'm disappointed, blah, blah, blah. My father rips me a new one that he's embarrassed by me amongst his friends. And I'm like, how dare your friends? How dare your friends feel that way about your children who I think are great? I'm way smarter than those people talking to you. I'm better than those people that are telling you that stuff. How dare you make them feel that way about your daughter? And he's like, why are you smarter? And I go, I'm smarter, and my brothers are smarter because look at us. We're genuinely happy. We genuinely do what we want to do. We are not following. You know how many people, like my girlfriends are getting married now. You see, one by one, and what... A normal, quote-unquote, like right. the regular
sure,
behavior would be me ripping you apart, Keith, about why I'm not getting married. Right. It's should what should be happening to me right now is me feeling sad, like, oh my God, I've been dating this guy for 4 years. Should I be upset that he's not willing to make a commitment? I should start right now doubting your love for me because all these other women are getting, quote, what they want. Bullshit. Congratulate me on not following the herd. Now, I understand that sounds like complete hippie shit to parents, you know, right. but don't tell me I'm embarrassing. You don't even know half the shit that's embarrassing. Like right now, fuck cunt shit. I said that to the world, you know, and I look at him with like completely just wow eyes. And I'm like, what do I really do, honestly, to embarrass you? Right. Because they don't know about the Keith and the girl thing. I could see why this would be embarrassing.
Sure.
Really. I mean, let's be honest. But what do I do? I'm not married. What do I do? I don't have a real job. But I'm making it. I don't ask you for help. He's like, you know what? You can do whatever you want. Just don't ask me for anything. And I was like, Dad, when was... And I'm being so genuine to my dad. I'm like, Dad, when was the last time I asked you for anything? Really, when? And he's like, just don't... I'm just anticipating you asking me for something. I'm like... Do you know anything that's wrong in my life right now? Do you know anything that I'm complaining about? Is there anything that I bitch to you about that I'm having trouble with in my life right now? I'm just sent it. No, you don't know anything that's wrong because I keep that shit to myself. That's my life. You go ahead and do what you want. What the fuck? So then he sees he doesn't get on top of me and my brother. He sees he doesn't, you know, I mean, he's getting to us, but it upsets him
that he's not upsetting you.
It's upsetting to him that like he's not getting his way, that we're not, you know, because our biggest thing now is me and my brothers is that they can't get to us actually because I get to go home and hang out with you. He gets to go home, and just everybody gets to go home to their own homes, and they can't force us to do anything. My father's like, you know, if you ever end up getting married, don't you blame me. Like, I forced you to get married. I'm like, wow, that's not right. going to happen. Like, where are you pulling this shit right. out from? How am I so involved in your life? Like, what? In fact, everything he says the next, he's like, oh, I'm thinking of selling the house and moving to Israel. I'm like, that's great. He's like, well, what about leaving you behind? I'm like, it's not about me anymore. He's right. like, tell that to your mom. Okay. So he doesn't get to me. He doesn't get to my brother. He turns to my mom and rips her one. And that's it. It's over. Me and my brother, I can feel my brother. I could feel, you know, my own.
You start crying at the table.
I hold back. But I'm ready. I know as soon as I hit the door to Good. My own house, I'm bawling. And that's exactly what happened. I held it in the car. Because on top of that, on top of my mother feeling uncomfortable and
again, you know, it's her night. Not her just night. You got to see this in front of your mom.
Yeah, she's really excited. My dad was really mean at that point because if he doesn't get his way, he just gets meaner and meaner. And my mom's tapping me under the table, just going like, and I understand that just means shut up. You know, that just means like no matter what he's doing to me right now, you just be quiet so that it doesn't get worse. And then in my head, I'm like, what the fuck did I just do to my mom? That's like when you see an abused child on the street, you stop, let's say, the father from hitting the son. And then the father goes home and beats him extra for being like, look what you did to me on the street. Right. You know, you embarrassed me. That's what I did. I sent my mom home with this beast.
It's not to confuse people, but it's
there's
not
no
beatings,
real abuse. There's no beating.
It's yelling.
Inappropriate behavior is what happens.
Which you have to tell yourself, you know, she's okay with that. And she was okay with it in the beginning.
I don't know
There's nothing you can do about it.
I don't know how. Yeah, there's no real abuse. There's no whatever. It's just a dominant, you know, male in a Middle right. Eastern whatever. It's just, you know what? I really believe that in your average home, they believe that that's okay to do
right.
where, you know, you just see the father go. Because men don't know how to deal with their emotions, so they just explode. And I swear to God, my first couple of boyfriends, they were probably like that. Because I remember the switch. And actually, I have to give credit to Doug, who was the first guy who didn't behave that way. And from then on, I went, you know, you get girlfriends where you're like, oh, there's this. And they keep adding to whatever you're not going to take from an ex-person. And they, unless, you know, some people go backwards,
right.
you know, and just keep taking more and more bullshit. I was like, oh, there are guys who don't yell.
It
there
took
are
me
guys
a while to
don't.
Go to Hemda. Like, wow, there are chicks that aren't crazy. I don't know if it's plural, but here's one.
Yeah, but you keep learning, like, right. no, that's not, you know, but I really think most guys, and that's the, most guys are like that, and it also, because we believe that most guys are like that, it gives them the okay to be like that, too. Whew, that was quite the rant. That's it.
That's good. Do you feel better at all?
Of course, I felt better as soon as I saw you. It felt right. better, like, you know, making that disgusting crying face, blowing right. my nose, completely right. sobbing, telling you everything. You already know me, and I'm safe at home. Right. I'm safe. I just feel safe.
Is he going to get you next time you go out? Are you going
to?
Are you?
I have to watch for what he says about my brothers. That's all. He doesn't get me.
He's going to.
I understand he thinks I'm a loser. It's fine. I know I'm not a loser.
I mean, he's going to get your brothers.
I don't know. It's just, you know.
Well, your one is sarcastic and the other one's older and, you know, seems to be doing okay. And it's still going to bother you.
They're all doing okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But right. I get bothered. Like if somebody attacked.
You guys have to just.
If somebody attacked you, I'd be bothered.
I
you know
what you're saying.
If I see that you're uncomfortable.
You guys have to start leaving. This guy,
they
I'm not,
left.
I'm
they
not
went to the
over.
Other side of the country.
I know.
Think it partially has to do with that's it. With this Jewish overbearing, you know, fucking parents who, you know what I mean?
I would have left dinner. Here's something else though. I'm just for talking. If I was there that night, and you know, eventually,
tonight?
If I was there tonight, and you know, eventually, I'm gonna be in the living room with them, whether they move to Israel after all or not. Eventually, it's gonna happen. And if he said, would this come up? Would he have the balls to do that yelling in front of a stranger? Does you know what I mean?
He has.
Because it's a stranger. He has. And I could tell.
He
I
has.
Think
Mona
what's
was over. Mona was over with the guy that she's seeing, who's also involved in my music career.
Okay.
I said something that wasn't. To his favor, he yelled the fuck out of me until I had no strength to hold in whatever. I walked away and I was sobbing. There ended my fucking day, my night. These are my friends coming over. So yeah, I embarrassed the shit out of you. Okay.
Is it mine? You know, it's different because I'm dating you. Is it my place?
No.
To say anything?
No. It only makes
do
it
I
worse.
Do I just sit there?
It only makes it worse where...
Do I say that's enough, we're going? Or do I just sit there?
Maybe you can say that's enough, we're going. Like, on the ride home, I'm like, you know what, next time I'm going to get up and go, I'm taking the train.
Good.
And just leave. But at the same time, there I am leaving my brother. And then I thought, okay, I'm going
to
turn to my brother
too.
And go, you want to take the train with me? And we'd probably end up taking a cab.
Because he's a millionaire. Gotcha!
Maybe psychology says that, you know, right. because my brother's successful, my father has to behave that way. Who right. the fuck knows?
I can tell, like, you know, maybe your brother doesn't feel comfortable with me saying too much. So, you know, stop me if I am. But he brings up, like, ideas that he has, your older brother. And he's all into business. He was into business since he was a younger kid. And your dad shoots down these ideas. Who are you to just make this person who obviously fucking made it? You want to talk about success. All the success parents know is if you're married or if you're making money. And he did quite well money-wise. So why would you pick on business? That's just a pick. Your dad is somebody that just likes to pick.
Yeah, he picks on me.
Right.
He picks on me and whatever I do.
And he probably does that thing. Oh, I know. I was the worst father.
My dad
does that too. That makes it okay?
That makes it
so
bad.
Oh, I was the worst father. I made you dig holes all the time. I know. If you dare touch the crystal light, I made you cut all the grass with scissors. I'm sure I did all that.
Yeah, that is.
That's what I did. You had to go to the neighbors too and go, excuse me, can I cut your ass with scissors? Right? I probably made you do that. I am the worst. How do you stand it?
Right.
Am I beating you right now? How do you stand it?
Yeah, oh my God, I bet everybody's getting that.
Yeah.
That is exactly what we get. And they're not the worst parents.
You have to teach them a lesson by not going. You know what? You take a.
What am I going to do? Not go to my mother's graduation?
No. Go to your mother's graduation, then dismiss yourself when you should have. Don't go to Yom Kippur.
I don't teach a lesson. I don't
or whatever.
Go to Yom
What's that one you go to? The big one where there's no reason you would not go to that.
Passover.
Do not go. Do not go to Passover. I stopped going to Christmas one time. And
your
that was
parents
a big
don't live,
deal.
You know, 2 miles away.
You're not going to meet when they're in Israel.
I'm going to go when
of
they're
of course.
In Israel.
You teach a fucking lesson. I'm not standing there for abuse anymore until you start being fake polite.
But see, the thing is he'll be fake polite. When was the last time I got into a fight with my father?
I don't know.
At least a year, right? So once a year, we got to brawl it out.
And then leave that once a year.
And then leave.
Well, congratulations to your mom nonetheless. I feel like it's mine too.
Oh, man. I wonder what's going on over there.
Because your older brother went back, stayed over, and is staying over your parents' house, which I would not fucking do.
His flight is at 5 in the morning.
Still.
It's what, midnight now? So his shit is over there. You know, it's not really a choice at that point.
I guess.
It doesn't matter anymore.
And then are they driving him to the airport?
My mom did nothing, you know?
Right.
She gets disappointed in me all the time, but it's like this, you know, she doesn't attack like my dad does.
Will your dad send your brother a letter?
No.
No?
No.
Ask in a weird way, asking for an apology?
No. You know what my father will do? He'll ignore it and maybe keep away from us for a while, and then all of a sudden we'll be face to face and he'll act like nothing ever happened.
Right.
That used to happen with major fights, except the next morning everyone was acting normal. Major fights. Like, I was bawling. The whole house was on fire. You know what I mean? Like, just major fights, and the next morning, nothing. That's fucking creepy. Anyone right. have that? There's got to be people who have that. Did you have that? Your father made it a point to be a little bitch about it.
No, he would act
fine. I'm sorry for calling your dad.
He would act fine right away. And then it's like 2 weeks later. You think, you're like, wow, he's okay. You know, we're supposed to act like everything's fine. And then 2 weeks to a month later, there's a fucking 10-page letter. It's like, why didn't you admit you weren't okay? Everything's fine talking on the phone. Everything's fine. But he picked up something weird that he didn't acknowledge then. And then a month later, there's 10 letters.
Right.
10 pages. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Fuck them all. We hung out with, because I have some little, not as big, but some little complaining I want to do. So I want to talk about the nice things. Somebody that didn't end up fucking nuts yet. Matthew Bray, the guy making the DVD. How awesome. And we went out and, you know, had lunch with him. It's the editing part's done. Josh is going to try to put on a bonus animation on the DVD. Very excited about it. And whenever we bring up somebody with skill, everybody tries to steal them away. And get them to do stuff for them. Leave Josh alone. He has a deadline.
Josh is the one who did the animation, keithandthegirl.com/retards.
Right. So don't say what the new one is, but it's something we're working on. Anyway, hanging out with him in a Mexican restaurant
with
Matthew Bray. And I get confused. Anytime something's in a menu that I've
never
had
heard
before, no matter how dumb it sounds, I have to have it. And there's this thing Mexicans have, calamocho. Something like that.
I'm sure that's how it's pronounced.
Right. Calamocho.
No, I love how you got extra American bad. Calamocho.
These Mexicans. They take Coke and wine and put it together. Coke and red wine. I'm like, why the fuck would you ever do that?
No, why the fuck, as Keith Malley, would you not know yourself enough? Like, Keith sits there for like 5 minutes, which is a long time when you're just staring at one drink, and goes, I don't know, should I have that? I feel like Matt and I are giggling to each other like, yeah, right, like you're not going to order it. You can't help it. You need to know what that is.
Right. And I end up getting it, and it tastes like Coke and wine. I'm fucking insane.
And I think it's so funny. You have to try it right there. Yeah. We can't just buy like a $5 bottle of wine and some Coke.
There's your $6 glass.
It. Yeah. You have to try it right there.
And I try 5 times all the time. Like, still shitty. Oh, still shitty. Because it starts out kind of wrong. And then it's good for a second, and then it's what? It's fucking disgusting. Mexicans are weird.
That is exactly what I thought when drinking it.
Don't bring that up when you're asking for your rights in America. I'm just saying. If you have a meeting with, you know, George Bush or something, calamocho? No. Get back to the field. I had, Matthew Bray had a Coke Black, the Coke mixed with coffee.
Mm.
Tastes like Coke mixed with coffee. Shit.
It's better than the calamoto.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's shit. But anyway, my point is, I'm waiting.
In today's Mexican review.
Right. I'm waiting for a Matt to turn on me.
I'm waiting for Spooky to turn on me.
Right.
So we have our own.
Because like somebody, hit an after show or something, and I said that, like, they're like, you know, we're Spooky, I haven't seen him in a while. I'm like, we're not friends anymore. So somebody writes on the forums like, oh, they're not friends anymore, and I'm like, that you probably really just ended our friendship. He's, you know, people are just take weird fucking things wrong. Remember the guy that did well, you of course do, but lulu.com, we said I'm gonna put the book on there, and I got an email from somebody going, going, oh, yes, I saw you. And I was just looking at it like, well, you can self-publish. It seems like an easier way to go. Not that I've even tried with a real publisher. I might want to try that first.
Right. Not like you tried anything at all.
So then somebody rates me. He's like, oh, I found your book and I got it. And I'm like, I'm excited. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he sends me a link.
Wait. I'm not making sense. You're jumping completely ahead of time. Are you talking about the help that you got first?
First, I'm talking about finding out the book.
Right. This book is The Great American Novel. It used to be available for free download on Shite.com, which is Keith's website, also KeithMalley.com. So a lot of people downloaded it. Now he wants to turn it into a real book. Somebody introduced him to Lulu.com.
Right. Okay, we'll start from there. Somebody introduced me to Lulu.com, started making drawings for me, making covers.
Yeah, he said, because Keith didn't know what to do with the cover, and that's the first step to putting it on Lulu.com after he already wrote the book, which is pretty much finished. Right. Okay, so
it makes a cover that's just a flag. And I'm like, that's too simple, thank you, I don't take that one. And then something else that's like wrinkly paper with like coffee stains on it. Right. And I'm like, I kind of like the idea, but that seems simple, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts getting pissed off, and he's mad, and he's like, fuck you, and you can go fuck yourself and fuck your book. And I'm like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Because I don't like your ideas. Fuck me. You know, if somebody tries to help or does something and you don't like it, you're screwed. You know?
You can't have a cover of a book, your first book.
Like, is DJ... I'm nervous now because of all these other weirdos. There's nothing strange about DJ Quad, but now I'm, like, nervous. I'm like, are we fucking enemies now? Because other people are so fucking weird.
Everyone's starting to be a little weird. Not Matt, not Spooky, but, like, people who try to help, if it's not good, I don't know... You can't have a cover that you don't like just because somebody did it for you for free.
Exactly. And so this was back in January, and I'll tell you why I'm rereading this email. Hey, Keith, I have to apologize. I called you a fucking moron and got really mad at you. I thought that book was mine, not yours. I'm such a fucking child. Anyway, I'm not good at making book covers. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I just want to help format anything you need help with. That's something I could help you with. If you ever need help with the book format or setting it up on Lulu.com, just let me know when I can do whatever you want. Just send me an email. And if you guys ever need help with anything technical, sorry, Keith, you're a great guy. Sorry for all this shit. Bye, Brandon McKay, to shorten his name.
McKay.
So then some guy ends up, right, it's months later, it's, you know, now June, and somebody goes, you know, I saw your book on Lulu, I ended up buying it, and I look, and it's Brandon McKay's cover with the wrinkled up paper and coffee stains, and I'm like, I recognize this fucking cover, and you could buy that book. The old
that
version
Keith did not finish editing.
How much did I talk about it? It's not on the site anymore, we're doing something with it, you know, I don't like your cover. Well, now you can go and you can buy it. And so immediately I contact, you know, the company and say, you know, it's my book. It's not on there now. You know, maybe we talked about wanting to work with you, but, you know, somebody's taking the initiative or whatever.
There's no authorization from you to put it on there.
They can't tell me how much. They don't know. Like, it wasn't showing up to the girl I was talking about. But I know at least one person bought it. So I don't know how many people bought it. She said, I can tell you that Brandon didn't get any royalties. So I guess he's selling it for the amount it costs to print.
He didn't mark up the price to get any profit.
Right.
He's just selling it at cost.
So I guess he thinks he's doing a favor. And it's like, I will set up this whole book with a cover for now, because this is the best I can do. And then if you want to do something with it, I know his next email is going to be, dude, I was trying to help. I wasn't making money. I know. Do you see how fucking horrendous that is? Do you see how terrible what you did was, whether you wanted to help or not?
And it's something that... We kind of freaked out over.
I freaked out.
Yeah.
The good news is it's a sign we're doing good. Do you see why it's horrible what you did?
He's not going to see it.
He's not going to see it.
He'll see it, and then 6 months later, selling it on audio CD somehow.
And this is only going to make him madder. Now he's going to be like, fuck you.
Right.
Because to reread this email like I just did, I'm sorry I was being a baby. I thought the book was mine, not yours.
Well, now you're acting like it.
So, yeah. So, you were a baby. You admit then that you had this book and because you wanted to help and I didn't like your help. All of a sudden, you're mad. You know how when people get mad, they just justify anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the clown agent is mad at me, so he's going to justify not paying me my old wages? That's what this is. And he's going to be like, well, I thought it was my book all of a sudden. What? Now, I just made him more mad. He's going to do his audio version at home.
In the best Keith Malley voice ever.
Right. It just really, really upset me. And then he wrote that, the guy that ordered the book and told me about this, said, some dude fucked me on the Great American Novel off of Lulu. At least I can make sure you guys get some cash. Do some good with it. So he sent me a little money. Anyway, regarding episode 280, I grew up in Brooklyn, and Adam is a badass for being a white kid near Franklin Avenue on the 2-3 train. He could have gone a stop further to Kingston and been closer to the very Hasidic Crown Heights. It's safer for white folk, and they still sell weed.
That's really nice.
Hope this shit with DJ Quad works out. I do, too. Yeah. I didn't think there'd be a problem, but now fucking things are just fucking weird. The our t-shirt guy, I like him, and we take our quality very seriously, and he sent me a sample of a new project we're working on, and I washed it, and I didn't like the way it came out after the all the thing we have now is fine, but I washed us something new, and I said
he's good like that, where he goes, hey, what about this, and he just sends us a sample, and that's how he got us to work with him. He's been really cool, so we test out the stuff before we start selling it,
before we start ordering more, before we sell it, and I said it seems to be this, it seems to fade. This thing you gave me. And he said, well, I washed it in cold water. It doesn't fade here. And I said, well, the tag says, you can wash it this way. I said, I had the laundry do it when it was done. So I don't know what they did. So, that's fair. And I say, this is quote. I say, I'll need to do my own independent study, maybe. Let me see what happens. Thanks for being on top of this. I take it seriously. And fans are very slow to complain. But in the end, if it's not good, it'll bite us all in the ass. Here's what he wrote back. All I'm trying to do is find the problem. I'm trying to duplicate what happened so I can fix it. If I don't understand what happened, how can I change so it doesn't happen again? I stand behind everything that leaves my front door. Send back the things, and I'll reimburse you. Well, they were samples, but thanks. I'm on top of this. That's why I'm asking questions. When did I ever say I wasn't going to fix the issue? All I'm trying to do is understand what is happening and all the conditions that it happened under. If you feel I'm being unfair, then maybe you should go somewhere else that you feel more comfortable. I never said just because I'm not seeing it that it hasn't happened. All I'm trying to do is gather the information on what is happening to get it fixed. What the fuck is happening with everybody? We email, we do business, but in friendly words, like we've been buddies. I know emails that are business, that contain little jokes back and forth. All of a sudden, I'm the biggest asshole.
I don't know what happened there. I think he just got sensitive for a minute, because normally he's okay.
Yeah.
It's like we're in bizarro land all of a sudden.
I take the shirts very seriously, because they allow people to get blowjobs. this girl wrote, I just bought a shirt at Keith and the Girl and realized that as a female, I'm not getting any head out of this $20. So is there any way we can make an Eat a Snatch Monday? No, Candace, but Wednesday is also, it's understood, for girls. And so, you know what? Listen, guys, if a girl's wearing a Keith and the Girl shirt, that's a fucking in to say hello.
Yeah. That's a big in, actually.
In.
If a girl's wearing Keith, I mean,
guys, you will probably get blown. Girls, you can fuck them.
A small percent of our listeners are girls, and we're assuming if they can take it, they're like a different kind of girl.
Exactly.
Right? You know?
So there you go. KeithandTheGirl.com/store.
Oh, and if you buy things over $50, you get a sticker that we're not blah, blah, blah.
Talking about Last Comic Standings, Joey Gay, we found out, doesn't win. But he gets pretty far. That's all we know.
Yeah, he can't say everything, but that's as far as we know.
As for TV follow-ups, we saw the ending. Matt came over after we were hanging out, which, by the way, we're on the street, and we see a crackhead light up on the street, mid-street, on a busy street.
Busy street, middle of the day, crack pipe.
Crack pipe, lighting it. I lock the door. It goes beep, or however it goes, right? Boop-doot. And he thought that was the cops. Immediately puts down the lighter, starts walking, starts looking at me as we're walking. I'm amazed. I'm trying to make him feel comfortable. What do I care? He does crack, I don't want him to feel weird. So I'm amazed. You had out of all the alleys, we're in Brooklyn, out of all the alleys, that's the street you picked, a major street.
He wasn't even in an alley. Right. One block down is like the water where no one's really looking, where it's like kind of shittier. One block down.
Right.
And you're not in the middle of brunch with everyone.
Not far as where you guys were doing your video.
Right, exactly. Illegally. And that's where, kind of like the rougher part is, or at least it looks that way, where a crack pipe would kind of fit in.
Right. But I'm amazed he's doing it. So I keep looking at him, then turning around. Because I'm looking at him, he thinks I'm a cop. So he keeps looking and turning around. I'm like, this is amazing. I love this town. I will never leave. And remind me that hookers and crackheads walk the street if I ever think about leaving.
Even as nice as Brooklyn is getting in Williamsburg, crackhead.
Right.
Okay, we feel better.
So we get home, and we're watching the final season, the final shows of Sopranos and Big Love. Both shit. Both shit.
You know what? The reason I kind of like the Sopranos one, every other scene was sex.
You know what? Yeah, they're like, holy fuck, we're sorry.
They have We've been fucking up. Sex scenes.
Right.
Did you like that?
I liked it, but I still needed Kellan.
Okay, see, Killen kind of ruined
it. Just a lame fucking thing, and then the end shot, the whole family's together. The end.
Yeah, somebody actually really should have died in The Sopranos.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Or got shot where you're not sure if he's dying or not, and that's why you want to watch the next season.
So a little kid is dating, you know, a Puerto Rican that the dad hooked up a construction job with him, and, you know, there's like two other little stories. And then they, you know, then the show's over, and they go, did you think it was over? Well, it's not. I'm like, no, I didn't think it was over, because you have five stories still hanging. Wait till next year. Till next year. We fucked you good. But we'll see you next year.
Right.
Fucking Big Love. I'm not convinced I'll watch season two.
Well, the only thing I'm excited about that there will be a season two is maybe we'll do ads for them again.
And then I will watch it. Motherfucker. The good news and bad news about being chosen. What is the, so the mother, the main mother, the first mother.
In The Sopranos?
And, no, no.
Oh, in Big
Love. In Big Love is up for Mother of the Year. You know, the whole
I can't even believe you're discussing
the whole plot is the same as when the very first episode of Big Love. There's nothing ever changed. The main guy, Bill Paxton, the worst actor in the world, it just seems real fake. And then I start going through my head, like, was he always fake? He's a terrible, terrible actor. I never realized till this show.
Really?
Yeah, I think. And who? The Prophet. So they're always at odds. They've been at odds every fucking show. One picking on the other one somehow. The other picking on the other one. And the very end, the Prophet calls up the competition for Mother of the Year and goes, you know, she's a polygamist. They have to pull her aside and go, are you a polygamist? Yes, I am. Well, you can't be in the contest. You're a fucking disgrace. Oh, no, the whole town knows we're a polygamist. The end.
Yeah.
So that's the end. Oh, they got you. All this time, nobody ever asked you. It's kind of weird. You're all fucking live together. I'm a polygamist. Oh my God, I said it.
That's the thing with this show. It's always the same conflict and the same. It's like a plateau where they think it just keeps going high and low. We already know who's at odds. Right. We already know, like, somebody kill someone. Somebody actually die after getting killed. You know?
Yeah, remember how we said they alluded to the fact that the youngest wife could. Start fucking one of the kids because they're about the same age and both retarded. Nothing ever happened to that.
Right.
Boring. So I don't even know if that was deliberate or not. It had to have been deliberate.
Yeah, oh God.
Of course
yes.
It was. Anytime
oh, God,
something happens,
yes.
It's deliberate. Oh well. So I'm starting to watch Rescue Me. Something about it is so simple and corny, but I really like it. That's all. Supergroup. Saw episode 3. Still not getting into the show, but again, I watch everyone.
This is, we're going through Keith's homework.
Right. That's what it is. Quit making shit. Let me better my life.
And here's another thing that I have to report to you. Although I didn't want to watch this, I felt the need to.
Yeah, if you guys are like, well, I didn't watch it. Why are you fucking telling me? Because I did. Because I did.
The same reason I have to talk about my family in order to feel better and get over it. He has to talk about how much the shows that he somehow has to watch. You have to talk about it, and then all of a sudden it feels better that you watched it.
Sebastian Bach is a douche.
He seemed like it.
He's a big. You gotta watch this last episode. He's the biggest fucking spoiled brat douche.
That's
who doesn't
shame.
Understand it's over.
I know in the commercial he goes, "Then you better get yourself another singer." But I thought maybe
it's
they
worse.
Blew that out of proportion.
Right? No, it is worse. He's a spoiled bitch.
That's
like,
a shame.
We flew somebody down to England for, you know, the press shoot and this and that. There's an interview. I gotta go running now. That's what I have to do now. I'll see you in 3 hours.
Wow.
He's a douche. Oh well.
You know what? Part of that, I think, is people doing it along the way. The industry. You know, you're the best. You're the best. We'll give you everything, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we're not giving you everything. Well, he still feels like he deserves everything. And we did that to him. We went to the concerts. We told him he's the best. We left, you know, messages.
We showed you,
know?
You our titties.
Exactly. We blew you for no fucking reason.
Right.
Except that you're pretty and you kind of look like our best friend or what we hope our best friend will look like or something like that. He was such a girl back then, right?
Oh, yeah.
I loved him. God, I thought he was so good looking. And I think that's like a 14-year-old version of like so hot when you look like a girl.
Right.
You know, right?
Because
it's more safe for a girl.
Right.
You know?
Because I guess because their music, it's reminding me of this. And working on this on the DVD, my stand-up DVD. When I did it, and I'm just bringing up a story, not to sound like an asshole. people were chanting encore when I was done. And why I didn't have anything ready, or, you know, I had so much shit. So much shit was cut out. I'm like, there's one story I could tell, but it was so weird and my head was spinning. And I'm like, you know, so I went out and said hi again, but I didn't have anything prepared. And next time I definitely will. And I'll be like, an encore? Oh, thanks. That whole thing with encores is weird.
Yeah.
That thing is weird. Like, you know, and then you come out and you do your encore. It's like, I could have said this while I was here, you know, and it makes maybe more sense with music, but it's just as fucking weird. I remember when I saw Dave Matthews.
As funny as I think you are, I didn't expect them to go encore, encore. I didn't know they do that.
I didn't know they do it either.
I had no idea. I didn't know that that's how it works.
Right.
And in fact, even like as a person who sings every
more.
Once in a while,
I was here for an hour. What do you mean more?
Yeah, when they give me the set list and they're like, and here's our encore, I'm like, oh yeah, we prepare that.
Right.
Like that's not a... Oh, I guess if you want us to do another one, yeah. Let's pick something out of our repertoire. Plus, I'm working with people with laptops, so you need to have that ready. Right. It's not like, let's just jam on this one, you know?
I brought up Dave Matthews, but it's any of them. Kiss. It's every concert I ever saw. And, you know, you're done. And it's like, okay, encore, encore. And then you come out and you do your biggest fucking song. You know, you do your Ants Marching that I took the time to learn the words. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're not going to fucking do that? I'm mad. I know I spent late last night learning the words like homework. And then they come out and do it. And you're like, well, of fucking course, you know. We're done. Are you done? But we'll come back and do Rock and Roll All Night. Of course you will. The whole process is silly.
It is silly.
When you had to do it, when you're doing it in your band, you stand behind the curtain and you're like, you know, when do I come out?
Yeah. The weirdest thing is one time during this last tour, this one place didn't have a backstage. So the backstage was us just kind of like stepping over to the side and everyone can still see us. And and I'm like, well, this is fucking awkward. Because it's like, where are we going to go, you know?
And you put your finger on, like, hold on.
Right, and we're like, and then we're just looking at each other. And I really believe in my heart that all four of us were pretending to talk to each other about pretending to act surprised.
Right, right.
Like, we're all going, so I guess we'll go now. Yes, we'll go do another one. We have it ready.
And like the fake news when they finish talking and the cameras are still on. Like, I hope that's not news.
So then we get on and we do our encore. And then we know if we just go to the side again, it'll either be awkward because they're not going to ask for another one, or it'll be awkward because they are, and it's just awkward in general. You're looking at us, so Doug was like, "Fuck this," and we all were like, "If he wasn't the first one off stage, one of us would have done it. Whoever was first." There was a non-curtain that we know led to like the complete outside of the whole venue, and we just took the curtain down and left. It's so fucking weird. It's so fucking weird. And then there are stages sometimes where there's no backstage at all. You just walk into the audience like... And Keith, you experience this. You just get off stage with your stand-up.
Right.
And you get off stage right to your audience. And it's like, hey, I was just up there doing things. And hi, how are you?
Right, right. You know what? Whenever I would go to Surf Reality all the time, and it's like any other club, there's not really a backstage for you.
Right.
You know, there was when I did the last DVD, but my head was so dizzy after doing it, that I forgot there's a door that you can go out of into like the main restaurant or whatever, and then come back in if you want to meet people.
Right.
But I was like so fucking dizzy. I'm like, okay, I gotta get out of this back room now. How do I do it? I walked back to the stage. Picture your Chris Rock is like, I'm done, thank you, good night. I mean, obviously it's a smaller scale, but it's the same fucking thing.
It's just
a real thing I'm taking serious. And then come out the side of the stage with your head down like, you don't see me, I'm a roadie moving equipment.
That's the thing. It's that feeling of like, I didn't really come out here to get praises, I didn't really come out here to talk about it, but I gotta come out here. So
right.
Hi. And a lot of times I do catch myself, if I have to go through the audience, I'm putting my head down.
Right.
And I don't mean it to be like weird and antisocial. I just don't want people to feel like, hey, I'm out here so you can say, oh, you were just on stage, like, congratulate, you know, like, do that weird thing. So I walk really quick with my head down. Why? Everybody else is taking their kudos.
Whenever I do, stand up and there is no backstage, I'll sit in the audience. And then when it's my time, I get on stage and I sit back down because everybody knows where I'm going. If I leave this room, I'm in the bathroom or I'm outside. You know, both ways are fake and weird.
Right.
You know, so I just like, I sit there. And you know, whereas, you know, somebody else, you know, is just, you're right out, or I'm right behind you, you know, like even Comedy Cellar, I'd be right behind you.
Right.
And then I go, and then I walk back, And it's like, ooh, where'd he go? Right behind you. Have a seat. Relax. And next, Keith Malley. I stand up from the second row. Okay. Like they just pick people in the audience. And you. Come on down. In quick news, the news of a ghost. Oh, fuck that. An Australian burglar downed a bottle of vodka while on a heist and was caught wasted on his victim's king-size bed. That is an alcohol problem. Gerard's sober.
I don't like your attitude towards me when you said that.
Right, listen to this. Gerard's sober. That's his last name. Of the town of Traisen, said he knew the snoring wasn't his old lady's. Oh, okay, so this is the guy, the victim. I walked into the bedroom and found...
Well, that's ironic then.
Right, but I never drink. I walked into the bedroom and found a strange man fully clothed snoring away on my bed. His pockets were full of my wife's jewelry,
wow.
And there was an empty bottle beside him. When he's having his intervention with his friends, this is a good point to bring up.
Wow.
But I need a drink. But what, that, like, what's he doing? Does he sit on bed and be like, look at me. What am I doing with my life? Go. This is the last one, I swear.
I don't he's thinking very clearly.
Maybe not.
Sorry.
Maybe not. And finally, in quick Clown Monday news.
We did a job on when? Saturday?
On Saturday, and yep. It rained all day. Perfect.
The thing is the people that we were working for,
right.
It was like an agent through an agent.
Okay.
You know, and we're working for our favorite agent, but through a dickhead agent, and he's the boss of the job there. So apparently, we weren't allowed to eat on that job. I just didn't know that and went to get food.
Right. You can't ask.
No.
It's my thing about, you know, when you work for a company, and are you allowed to eat at your desk? And people would go like, you know, can we eat at the desk? You don't ask.
You just do it,
and now you can.
Yeah. The thing is in these big open picnics, there's so much fucking food, I don't think they'll be missing a hamburger.
Right.
You know? So in these big open things, we usually don't even ask, or we go, you know, do you mind if we get a drink? And they're like, oh, fucking help yourself right. to anything. These are the kinds of jobs where you're wondering, like, do they give the leftover food to homeless or what?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much food. Okay. So I go get the food, and I'm good, and we both eat. And towards the end of the job, the boss from the company that we're in touch with comes over, and all of a sudden I see everybody that works for the rides
right.
are eating pizza. I'm like, what the? Something's right. up. Because I noticed that for the first time ever at a picnic, they were like, oh, you don't have a bracelet. And I'm like, I'm wearing a fucking clown suit.
When you went to get food, you mean?
Yeah. I'm wearing a clown suit. You right. see this clown suit? Give me food. And what happened was the guy that...
I have balloons for pigtail holders.
Right. So it turns out the guy, when one of the people working with us said, hey, what about food? He goes, there's a vending machine down over there in the park, and there's a vending machine down over there in the park. You're going to need some change. How fucking dare you?
And you're even saying it rude. You're not saying like,
yeah.
You even need some change.
Yeah.
Can I get some change from you? That's not what I meant.
Even pointing out
right.
the vending machines.
Right. And they've been there since 1 in the morning.
They've been there since 7 in the morning.
They're going to be there till when?
They're in a park.
Right.
They're going to be there at least... Well, now it's raining all day, so the blow-up things, they're fucked on.
Right.
They're screwed. It's going to take like twice as long. They're going to be there at least until 7, so it's a 12-hour day. You're going to throw out all these... By the way, the worst burgers
the worst
ever.
For a catering company.
The too. Worst. The worst food in general ever. How can you fuck up a burger that much?
Right.
But whatever, we got to eat. These people had to wait until pizza right. at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, why?
You know what you
what a dick you have to be. You know, when somebody's working for you that long, it is your obligation to feed them. It actually is. It's usually right. written in contracts. It's usually like, you know, if we're not allowed
why
to...
Why wasn't it?
I don't know, but if we're not allowed to eat the major food, there's usually like shitty food for us backstage, but at least, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
you gave us the shit food.
Right.
You understood that people need to eat. What are they going to do? Leave their jobs to get out of the park, to go down the street?
And don't even do things to be nice. Do things to help yourself.
Right.
Like when I say, you know, people borrow people's shit and they just ruin it. Don't not ruin or not care about people's shit because that's what the right thing to do. Do it so you'll be allowed to borrow shit again. So feed these people so they can keep an eye on the kids. So they're not fucking dizzy and not giving a fuck.
Right.
And then to go back to my point about how all you have to do is give somebody a reason to fuck you. You know, they're going to do something. You know, just give them a fucking hamburger and shut them up.
A hamburger that you're not going to eat.
Right.
It's going to be thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
I was so...
Maybe they'll try a little harder at the DJ booth. instead of I got I have bags of rattles. Come and get them if you want. And then they just keep the rattles in a bag, and they go, here, I have to give these out. Here's a bag of rattles.
He's actually getting on the mic going, I got a million of these. Will somebody just come up and get it? Ew.
Maybe if somebody gave him a hot dog or two, he might have tried.
My God. And then another thing is, they knew that it was going to rain the next day, so they called the company the day before and said, if you don't want your people to be wet, you better bring some tents. How nice is that? That's not the way it works. If you want tents, you pay for the rental of tents.
Right.
But there he is. I almost kind of think he's brilliant because he got his tents.
Right.
For free. But you're a dick. You're an absolute dick. Right. And you know what? This company, because they're so nice, they would have been like, okay, we'll give you tents. You spent all this money and, you know, we have tents. Let's give you tents, you know. They're not unreasonable.
Right. And watch what happens next year.
Well, the
magical inflation.
Magical inflation.
Yeah. They think you're going to be charged more.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And they're gonna count on the fact that you're going to be a dick and just, you know,
Don't do things to be nice. Do things to help you.
Yeah.
And then you'll be nice.
So rude. And then I felt bad, like half my burger sitting on my plate and they're probably starving. And I'm like, this is gross.
Right.
I didn't know they couldn't eat. Since when?
Yeah. We're half spitting out our food. They're not allowed to eat it.
Who does that?
Right.
Who does that?
Right. Don't ask.
You're not even human. Right. That's not human to me. You're a robot. There's one of them. We should have shot him.
I knew I didn't trust that whole fucking...
You know what I mean? And then we're standing there under the tent, practically hiding from the kids. I'm like, should we go into the major tent and be like the heroes? Because everyone's huddled under another tent and they can't do anything. So now they're just standing around. So I'm like, should we go into that tent and make balloons? And Keith goes, no. Let them come to us. So they run across the rain to our tent, get their balloon, and run across the tent back.
And they're so wet, so they're like kind of out of it. You know, they're jumping in mud puddles in the rain, and so, but they're not thinking clearly, and just like, balloon. Like, they don't even know you get to pick. And it's like, that's right, and you get a sword. Oh, I'm happy, I guess. Rain. I'll take what I can get. Nothing better than being at these parties and being far away from the crowd. And then it rains, and that's like a barrier between you and them.
And we're going, we're supposed to be clowns. Should we put on clown makeup? And Keith goes, it's up to you. Which, by the way, in Keith language means, don't fucking make
please.
Me put on it. Please. Come on. And I'm like, well, I don't want to fucking wear it. It's up to you, babe. You're the clown person.
It's just back and forth. What do you think until the job starts?
Until, shit, I guess we got to start. Right. Oh, well, they either want us to start on time or they want makeup on our faces, which I really think would scare the kids, by the way.
So don't forget, speaking of robots, new people, check out humansunitedagainstrobots.com, keithandthegirl.com/store. Buy a t-shirt. Girls want to fuck you. Girls apparently want to fuck even you. And we'll catch you guys later. Thanks a lot.
keithandthegirl.com.
Family values. The other day, my daughter came up to me and said, she's pregnant. I said, not in this house. Family values. She said, she wants an abortion. I said, not in this house. Family values. She moved out. My son come up to me and says, you're a homosexual. A homosexual. Love that. I said, not in this house. Family values. He moved out. Moved in with a man. My wife come up to me, says she wants a job. I said, not in this house, family values. She says it's a career. I said, family values. She moved out. I'm proud to say there's nothing in that house now but family values. Yeah.